Episode 8. Who am I? In the spacious, bright temple of the sage, a new colorful picture appeared on one of the walls, and the disciples gathered around it, waiting with trembling anticipation for a new spiritual conversation. Their eyes were fixed on the painting, in the center of which was depicted a baby. He looked at the world with wide-open eyes and smiled slightly, getting ready to get acquainted with the world around him, to know it, to grow and develop, to play, to learn, to interact with other people, to love, to rejoice and be upset, to experience emotions, to live. Around the baby in a circle were pictures, situations from adult life, which apparently could happen to this baby. Here he is, already a young man, meeting a girl. Here he is, happily playing soccer with his son. Here he is bored at work, counting down the minutes until the end of the working day. One of the pictures showed the same man in the middle of a fight, the moment when he threw a punch at his opponent and he fell on the ground, arms outstretched. In another picture, you could see the same person in a cheerful group of friends, sitting in a bar with glasses of beer. In the third illustration, the same man was lying on the couch with a despondent expression. The TV remote control was clutched in his hand, and his wife in a dressing gown and curlers looked at him with obvious displeasure. "I wonder what all these situations mean," one of the students uttered thoughtfully, intently examining the canvas, and as if not expecting an answer, but simply thinking aloud. "Maybe it's just the cycle of a person's life?" one of the students suggested. "He is born, falls in love, meets friends, marries, he has children, he gets an unloved job, and in his family he has one routine, gets involved in bad company, and fights start. But not everyone does this. It seems to me that some deep meaning is hidden here," the girl replied, continuing to look at the picture carefully. "Maybe..." She did not have time to finish as the keeper of knowledge appeared in the hall. Approaching the group of assembled disciples, he smiled and raised his hands with open palms, greeting them with a special gesture. At the same moment, they all felt his powerful light energy. Invisible rays of kindness and acceptance emanated from the figure of the spiritual teacher, which made it possible for each of the students to be filled with the joy of knowledge, to feel their inner essence. Although all this action lasted a few moments, the students experienced a mystical experience, as if time had stopped, felt contact with something very bright, sublime, incomprehensible to the mind, while being filled with a sense of unity and kinship with everything that is around. Smoothly lowering his hands, the teacher approached the present disciples, who were already impatient to ask their spiritual questions and absorb the infinite wisdom, the source of which he was. "Teacher, beloved, we have a new illustration," said the student with a special trepidation and sparkle in her eyes, who had just been thinking about the picture with like-minded people. "Tell us about it, please."
The sage took another step towards the picture and pointed to its middle. "Look, there is a baby in the center," the teacher began to explain, "and he personifies our essence. When we are born, we are very essential, and only then, in the process of growing up, we begin to acquire different layers, like a cocoon."
"Master, what does essential mean?" the student asked, tossing her short brown hair. "It means we don't have any identity yet. We are very close to nature and God. A small child perceives the world without the patterns of society. He does not label anything, as adults do. The baby has no ideas about the world and is just beginning to explore it. He still knows how to listen to his own feelings very well. He feels himself one with God, with nature. He feels his merging." The sage looked expressively at his students to see their reaction. Several dozen pairs of eyes were attentively looking at him, ready to absorb knowledge. And then he continued, "At first, a child sees only formless clots of energy around him and reacts to everything based on such perception. At that moment, a petite girl with long wavy hair pulled back into a tight ponytail raised her hand.
Sage, tell me, is that why a newborn child has such a look, as if floating?" she asked, choosing her words carefully.
"That's right, Eve," the teacher confirmed.
The baby does not focus on anything in particular, and his gaze is unfixed. He doesn't even come close to seeing the world the way we adults see it. The world for him is a stream of various energies, multicolored waves that vibrate and pulsate, flow into each other. "Teacher, does that look like how the soul perceives the subtle world?" Eve asked another question. The spiritual teacher looked at her approvingly. "It is so," he said. "At the moment of the birth of a child, the soul, Atman, a part of God, is infused into them. And now the soul for the first time looks at the world through the eyes of a baby and sees it the way it used to see it in the subtle plane. It turns out that the soul enters the child, and from that moment it becomes packed into the physical body." "Master, I have heard such an expression that the body is the suit of the soul," said a tanned, middle-aged man with a weather-beaten, high-cheeked face. "Is this the correct understanding? That is, the soul in the body is bound as if in a spacesuit?" "That's right, Andre," the sage confirmed. "The body limits the soul. Before moving into the body, the soul was free and could fly wherever it pleased. She could be where she wanted, just by sheer desire, with one thought." "Like in a dream?" Eva clarified, and quickly looking up, added, "After all, in a dream we can suddenly be transported from one place to another. In one moment we can be at home, and then we are in the forest or flying in an airplane over the world or somewhere else." "Yes, it seems," the teacher smiled. "Indeed, in a dream we can at one moment be transported, for example, from our apartment to the ocean coast. And the soul in the subtle plane is the same. For her, there is no distance. But when she moves into a body, she becomes limited by this body. She already has to drag this spacesuit with her everywhere and takes on all the difficulties associated with this movement. The child is already beginning to understand that just like that, from one point to another, as in the subtle world, he can no longer move, that he needs to learn to walk."
"Ah, how long does the soul have past perceptions?" Eva asked.
"Well, when does a child still not separate themselves from the world?" The sage once again looked at the students with a radiant look, paused, and began his answer. "For some time the soul retains the past perception, as in the subtle world," he explained. "And when the baby begins to grow, he is already actively studying the world around him, and his perception becomes different. If earlier he saw only the energies around him, then later these energies begin to be given different definitions, as they put labels on everything. Parents name objects, people, and phenomena somehow definitely. They say, 'This is a table, this is a stool, this is mom, dad, grandmother, and this is you. Are you a good boy? Or are you a good girl?' And so the child begins the process of separation from the world. It forms a superstructure over the essence, personality. If earlier he felt himself one with the world, its integral part, now his self-identification begins. But in early childhood, the child is very actively exploring the world around him, and he perceives it only with the help of the senses. That is, a child cannot form his own idea of an object until he explores it with all five senses." "Is that why babies put everything in their mouths?" the dark-haired student asked with a smile, looking at the sage from under her thick eyelashes. "Yes, Anna, that's right. Therefore, the child tastes everything, looks at everything with wide eyes, touches objects to understand how they feel, sniffs, smells, picks up sounds. Toddlers are very curious and inquisitive. They are interested in everything. Everything needs to be tried in order to explore. And so they gain their experience. For example, they touch a sharp object, understand that it hurts, and conclude that it means that it cannot be touched." "So the child learns everything by experience, right?" the girl clarified. "Yes. He makes up his impressions about every object, every phenomenon, and they are based on the child's own experience. But with age, this nature of the researcher in the child disappears under the so-called personality, labels, social roles, patterns. He sees the object, and a suitable label pops up in his head. He doesn't need to explore anything else."
"Look at this picture," The sage again drew the attention of the disciples to the sample of objective art on the wall of the temple. There are different situations around the baby. What do you think they mean? The students pondered, reflecting and looking at the illustration intently. The fact that over the course of life, a person is placed in society, Ava started talking, that he has to work, get married, raise children, and then he gets involved in various vices, fights, gets drunk. But it seems to me that these are all parts of a false personality, Maria suggested, tucking a golden curl behind her ear. After all, in each picture, a person plays different social roles. Look, he is a friend, husband, father, worker, someone's enemy and adversary, and for someone else, he is a lover. Excellent, Maria, well done. The sage praised the student and continued to explain. Yes, different roles are depicted here. Over the course of life, a person is told who he is and who he should be, but in different collectives, he is told different things. For example, parents say, "You are our son." At school, they tell him, "You are a student." If he goes to the wrestling section, then they say to him, "You are a boxer." In the company of acquaintances, they say to him, "You are our friend," etc. It turns out that different personalities, or in other words, different roles, are imposed on a person, and a person begins to identify himself with these roles. It turns out that a person feels differently in each of these situations? Eve asked, pointing to the painting. That's right, the sage confirmed. A person at work feels completely different than a person around friends. And at home, communicating with a child is not at all the same as, for example, at the gym. And every time he switches between these personalities, puts on different masks. But the most interesting thing is that these different personalities may not even know about the existence of each other. The keeper of the knowledge paused and looked pointedly at the students, waiting for their reaction. Surprise flashed across the faces of those gathered. How is it that they may not know? Eve didn't understand. Doesn't a person combine all this in themselves? Yes, but inside the person themselves, these personalities may not intersect at all, the teacher explained. Like in this picture, he again pointed to the image with an open palm. You see, here each situation is depicted separately from the others. So is a man. Among friends, he can be cheerful, a ringleader, and the soul of a company. But at home, he behaves completely differently, because his wife does not like his ideas, his jokes. And in order to avoid conflicts, at home he behaves like a gray mouse. He is not seen or heard. Can you give another example? Anna raised her hand. It seems to me that it often happens that at school a girl is a good girl and an excellent student, but as soon as she goes out into the street, she immediately turns into a hooligan. She puts on a shorter skirt, picks up a cigarette in her teeth, and goes looking for adventures. There is even a movie about it. Anna smiled ironically. Yes, a good example, nodded the sage. Or, here's another. The child asks his mother if he can take a walk with friends. She asks him to come home no later than 10 in the evening, and he promises her sincerely. And then he meets with friends and completely forgets about this promise. And in the end, he hangs out with friends all night, and his mother cuts off his phone. And in the end, he just turns it off and comes home only in the morning. Why do you think this is happening? The teacher again addressed the question to the audience and took a pause, giving them some time to think. Maria raised her hand. It seems to me that the point is that the child's personalities have switched, she said carefully. He promised his mother from the role of a good son, and then meets with friends and gets into a different environment, becomes a ringleader of the group. That's right, the keeper of knowledge confirmed. This is just a good illustration of the fact that different personalities within the same entity may not know anything about each other. And now his mother begins to shame him. How so, you promised? Why didn't you keep your promise? And it all happened because he switched the role. This is what many conflicts are based on. See what can happen next. The sage pointed to the picture with the fight scene. The same person had a good time with friends, and then suddenly argued with them about something. A conflict of interest arose. For example, they couldn't divide the girl.
and then they started to fight. And before that, they already turned on a completely different false personality. And now a man only recently swore eternal friendship. But then, from a different role, he begins to hate his friend.
Teacher, tell me, why do you say false personality? Anna asked, emphasizing the word false with her intonation.
Because each such personality of a person, each of his roles, is not the person himself, the sage answered, and looked shrewdly at the student, making a significant pause, emphasizing the significance of his words. Do you understand? Man himself is the Atman, the divine spirit, which is placed in the body. There is such an analogy with an egg, where the yolk is the soul, the protein is its essence, and on top is the shell, its personality.
Thanks for the explanations, the girl thanked. Now it's clearer. She nodded at the picture.
It turns out that the baby in the picture is an essence, but these clouds with situations are his false personalities, which often do not know about each other.
Yes. Look, in the next picture, we see the same person bored at work, and this is a completely different false personality, not the one he was with his friends, and not the one that fought furiously in the gateway on the street. This is the next personality and a different role, a hired worker, a subordinate who counts the hours until the end of the working day.
And this role knows nothing about the role of a friend, the role of a good son. The keeper looked from the picture to the disciples, who stood in a semicircle on both sides of the canvas and listened to his words, trying not to miss anything.
What about the next picture? Eva asked, pointing her palm at the next illustration, in which a man gave flowers to a girl.
Another role, the sage answered simply. For example, the false personality of a subordinate decided to suddenly make an effort and climb the career ladder, and with this decision, a person comes home from work and meets a beautiful girl. And at once, the teacher snapped two fingers in the air, the personality switches. Now this is no longer a hired employee, but a man in love, and this person knows absolutely nothing about career plans. Then the man forgets about work or quits it altogether, and he can spend the last money on gifts, for example.
Yes, and then he marries her, and the beauty turns into a monster, Andre commented ironically, pointing to the following illustration, in which a woman in curlers and a dressing gown leaned over her husband lying on the sofa.
That phrase turned out to be so funny and realistic that a wave of laughter ran through the ranks of the students. The teacher also smiled at the joke and, after waiting for the fun to subside, continued the explanation. Of course, in the next picture, the roles change. The ex-boyfriend takes on the role of husband, and the girl becomes the wife. And these false personalities are completely different. The man has already conquered the woman and now lies quietly on the couch and has forgotten what flowers and gifts are. And the woman ceases to take care of herself. She constantly only nags her husband. That is, they both turn on other roles, other false personalities. And so she tells him, "Stop messing around. Get up off the couch." And he tells her, "Yes, you are not at all the woman I married." The teacher laughed contagiously, exaggerating the situation, and the students again picked up this wave. The most amazing thing is that he is right. He really did not marry this woman, but another person.
Yes. The sage spread his hands and shook his head in confirmation of these words.
They were both different in that candy bouquet period, and then they quite sincerely swore eternal love to each other. They really believed their vows, but then they got married, and the environment changed, and new roles were formed, new false personalities.
So what is next? Anna asked, pointing to the last picture of a man and a child playing ball.
Is the circle closing?
Yes. Then this person himself becomes a father and already takes on a new role and acts from a completely new false personality.
And it turns out that in one person, who himself was once a baby, who does not understand who he is and why, different false personalities are included in different periods of time. And there are a lot of these personalities and social roles. They densely cover our essence, like an eggshell. And these personalities constantly switch each other. Therefore, a person may not truly sincerely remember that he promised to come before midnight or that he was going to finish a work report, but instead, he went on a date and forgot about everything in the world, and this becomes the basis for conflicts, not only between people, but also within the person himself. The keeper of knowledge paused, and at that time a brown-eyed young woman with an attentive, lively look raised her hand. "Beloved teacher, it turns out that a person is not an integral being," she asked with a touch of incomprehension, "since one constantly switches these roles?" "Quite right, Catherine, that is true. It would be a very big mistake to perceive a person as a whole. But after all, everyone considers themselves just the same whole," the woman said, somewhat bewildered. "Here they say, 'I think so, I decided it, my opinion.' But it turns out that it would even be wrong to say so, because the integral I does not exist. In fact, a person is not able to decide something at all. Because when one says, 'I have decided,' it was one part of them that decided, one role, one false personality," the sage began to explain in detail. "For example, a person decided to earn more money or to be a good father. But the problem is that other parts do not know anything about this decision. This is why a person often fails to fulfill the promises one makes, even to oneself. That is, people do not fulfill their obligations and often tell a lie, not because they are actually so bad and initially planned to deceive, but all because of these switches. Master, but after all, other people are also not integral," Katerina said emotionally, expressing an idea that had just come to her mind. "And other people's roles are constantly changing, and often they are radically opposite. And what a mess this is." An expression of genuine lively surprise appeared on the face of the young woman. And, observing this realization, the keeper of knowledge smiled restrainedly, recognizing the validity of the stated idea. "Therefore, if they promise you something, swear and beat themselves on the chest with their fist that they will do it. Then you must keep in mind that you are dealing with only one part of a person, and when the role switches, a person can simply even forget about these promises. If all people were accountable for this, many unpleasant situations could be avoided. And can there be problems due to the fact that the roles, on the contrary, have not switched?" Katerina asked. "Yes. This also happens often. For example, a woman works as a judge and then comes home and, without switching her personality, begins to behave in the same way, to judge her husband, son, daughter. That is, switching roles is bad, and if you don't switch, is it also bad?" Catherine decided to clarify. "What then is a person to do? How to deal with these roles?" "Most often, switching roles happens automatically, thoughtlessly," the sage patiently explained. "And the person is not aware of what is happening. Therefore, the first thing to strive to do is to become aware of your roles. Learn to understand when they switch. A person must understand, first of all, that all their false personalities are not themselves. You need to try to separate from them and at least feel your essence. And only after that, when a person reveals and cognizes one's essence, one can already cognize one's Atman, one's spirit, one's divine part." The disciples listened attentively to the sage, holding their breath, trying to penetrate into the very depths of the knowledge that he gave. And not just penetrate into it, but also to accept it, to let it through themselves, to try it on themselves. Maria raised her hand. A thoughtful look appeared on her face. "Great one, but how exactly are we supposed to come to ourselves? Where to start in order to realize these roles? Because when you live in a society, you just act, and it seems to you that you are one, that you make all these decisions on your own. First, you need to try to see when one role is replaced by another," said the sage. "Watch yourself, track your reactions. You must understand. So, now I'm reacting from the role of a good girl, an excellent student. And this role generally makes it very difficult to know the true self, since such a girl tries to please everyone in order to earn approval. But you need to be aware, the role of a good girl is not me yet. This is just one of the false personalities."
But now another role and another false personality is already turning on. For example, the role of a caring mother, which can manifest itself not only at home, but also at work, with her subordinates. Therefore, you first need to become aware of your set of roles, and then observe under what circumstances this or that role appears. And to make it easier, you can give them different names, labels. Teacher, and these names, can they be funny so that we exaggerate our manifestations and laugh at ourselves? Eve asked, shaking her blonde curly ponytail. The sage nodded with a smile. That would be very good. For example, you can name them like this: Cowardly Hare or Strict Boss, Mother's Daughter, etc. This will make it easier to separate from all false personalities, to understand that there is one role, another, a third, but none of these roles are you. All these roles, all these false personalities, arise under the influence of the environment, society, and it all starts with the very first words of the child when parents name objects for them and hang labels on them. Teacher, please give an example of how this can happen, Eve decided to ask in order to better understand the knowledge that the teacher was transmitting. How do these labels form in a child? For example, the baby understands that he needs to learn to walk, and he tries to walk and hits the stool painfully. And they say to him, "This is a stool. It's bad. Let's punish it." And he already has such a division in his mind. There is me, and there is a stool that causes discomfort. And it turns out, already at this moment, the child begins to instill false truths? Andre clarified, catching the look of the keeper of knowledge. Yes, parents form the understanding that in all troubles someone else will always be to blame, and not the child themselves. That's why later on it is so difficult for a person to admit their guilt and repent, and therefore it is so difficult for them to see the true state of things. Teacher, when a child is told that mom is good, mother must be loved, mother is always right, she will not wish bad, she must be obeyed, she has lived all her life and knows what to do, Andre quoted. This is also a suggestion of templates? Yes, replied the sage. Adults are dominated by stereotypes and pass them all on to the child. They designate social roles, saying, "You are my son," or "You are my daughter." And then they begin to say such phrases. "We didn't live richly. There's nothing to start." "Yes, we don't grab stars from the sky. And you don't stick your head out either." And these attitudes and behaviors are absorbed into the child and begin to determine their future life. And if, on the contrary, the child grows up in a rich family, are they given the right settings? Anna asked, and after a little thought added, "Well, for example, as they usually say, we are the descendants of a great family, we are the best, and you must behave in such a way as not to shame us." They heard an ironic tone in the girl's voice. "Those behaviors are better?" The sage shook his head. "I have one very revealing example on this subject," he said, "about a boy from a very wealthy family who was inspired by just such attitudes. But one day they turned against him." "Tell me, teacher," Anna asked, and the other students supported her request with a roar of approval. "All right," the master agreed, and after a moment of silence, gathering his thoughts, he began his story. "Once a desperate mother came to me and brought her son, 13 years old, who had stopped talking. Marat grew up in a very rich family and was a capable, smart, and bright boy. But then his parents sent him to a children's camp for a change, and from there he returned silent. He did not talk to anyone, did not respond to his father's threats, to his mother's persuasions. Doctors and psychologists only shrugged. Marat was silent for 3 years, and nothing helped." "What happened to him, master?" Ava stepped forward. "I learned the whole story later, but I'll tell you in order," the sage answered. "And here you need to start just with the instructions that Marat's father gave, a very influential and powerful person, a well-known politician and businessman, he always told him. There have never been weaklings in our family. Just try not to embarrass your family." And Marat did his best not to dishonor. He always studied well, strove to be the best,
so that his father was pleased. And now he's 10 years old. He flies to an international camp with in-depth study of English. He's at an airport with crowds of people. The counselors and educators fuss, anxious about everything, worry. The main thing for them is to register everyone, not to lose any of the children, otherwise there will be a scandal. And it was at that moment that Marat realized that he really wanted to go to the toilet. He asked the attendants for permission. He went up to one teacher, to another, but they were not at all up to it. They waved it off once. Now, wait a minute, and waved it off a second time. Wait until we are about to land, then you can go on the plane. And Marat waited and waited, endured, and in the end could not stand it. He did his business right in front of everyone. This was noticed by the teachers, and other guys noticed it too. Can you imagine what their reaction was? A rumble ran through the rows of students again. The students spoke briefly. Someone was indignant at the behavior of the teachers. Someone else shook his head sympathetically. Was he made fun of? Did you become an outcast? Did they come up with offensive nicknames for him? Assumptions poured in. Yes, everything went according to the worst scenario. He could only see this in his wildest nightmares. He was standing in wet pants in front of the whole group of guys, and they were pointing fingers at him and laughing. The teachers tried to somehow smooth this situation, but could not. A children's camp is often very cruel, a short, red-haired woman with a round, freckled face commented sympathetically. Yes, Maria, it is, the sage confirmed, stating a stubborn fact. And this group was also new. Nobody knew each other. Everyone gathered from different cities. And so, what happened was the reason to hang labels on Marat. Loser, whipping boy, rejected. And at that moment, his father's voice sounded in his head, "Just don't disgrace our family." After that, he didn't say another word? Eve asked, emotionally spreading her arms to the sides and demonstrating a lively, sincere reaction. 3 whole years? Yes. For the boy, this event was a tragedy. He realized that he did not live up to his expectations. He dishonored his family, his lineage, his father. But he also realized that he could not do anything. He would have to fly with these guys, be in this group for another month, and then he closed. And he stopped talking. And all this happened because of the father's attitudes? Anna raised her eyebrows in surprise. And if he grew up in an ordinary, simple, poor family? Then the reaction would not have been so acute. But a very tough personality was imposed on him, and he had to comply with these settings. Be better than others. Never be among the laggards. Always win. And then something bad happened, and the psyche could not cope with this load. Master, that was a defensive reaction, wasn't it? Andre clarified. To not go crazy? Yes, but it only got worse in the end. In this camp, everyone continued to consider him a laughingstock, mocked him. Instead of somehow changing his opinion about himself, he was silent and thus gave even more reasons for ridicule and mockery, and this caused him deep psychological and energetical trauma. When he arrived home, he remained silent. How did the father react to this? As always, in his authoritarian manner, he began to shame him, wanted to force him to speak in harsh ways. He believed that his son was just fooling around, that he was doing it out of spite on purpose. But these methods did not help. Marat remained silent. This is how he came to me. The keeper of knowledge finished speaking and looked around at the students who froze in place, waiting for the story to continue. It was evident that each of them empathized with the boy and sympathized with the misfortune that had happened, as if passing this story through their souls. Teacher, and what happened next with Marat? Eva expressed a question frozen in the air. The sage gave the student a bright smile. He's fine now, he replied softly. I asked his mother to leave the boy at the ashram for a while. She agreed, and a week later Marat uttered the first word, and then the speech returned to him very quickly. He began to express himself very brightly, began to take care of other children, and now he is a real protector and support for his 3 sisters. But how? Teacher,
Tell me how you cured him.
The Keeper of Knowledge responded with a mysterious look in which mischievous kind sparks shone.
I helped him get rid of his false personality, said the sage, and then he was able to open up for real and find himself.
A sigh of relief spread through the hall. Smiles also lit up on the faces of the students. Even applause was heard.
This is how our roles lead us into a trap, the sage summed up the story. First, a role is imposed on a person, and then, when one begins to identify with this mask, one is manipulated like a puppet.
Great one. Can I give one more example? The fair-haired girl with light gray deep eyes asked, and having received the master's approval, she sighed barely perceptibly, as if gaining courage, and continued to speak.
I want to tell you about my family, she said in a slightly trembling voice. My father was an inveterate alcoholic and died very early. I had an older brother, Igor, and he had the same problem as his father. He did not work anywhere, did not study anywhere. He only drank and pulled money from his mother. I tried to somehow fix his brains, but it didn't work. He didn't want to listen to me. And when his father died, Igor finally sat on his mother's neck. Moreover, when he drank, he became aggressive, began to scream, swear, ruffled his mother's nerves. But why didn't his mother send him to work? Eva was surprised, like the others, carefully listening to the story.
I would drive him away, would not give money for a drink.
She couldn't, the girl sighed even deeper. And now I think I understand why. I think she had a role.
You are a mother, and that means that's it. Until the end of your life, you need to carry your drunkard son along with you.
I tried to talk to her, but everything turned out to be useless. She still continues to drag him along. She constantly justifies him.
The sage looked at the student with sympathy, sending her rays of kindness and support.
Unfortunately, many people live like this, in the power of some role, completely merging with it, said the sage. And when a person is identified with their false personality, they become a slave to this role, and it begins to manipulate them. A person can no longer live the way they would like, be happy, do what brings joy to the soul. They are no longer capable of this, because they are a slave to this role, and it dictates, you are a mother. You must give all of yourself to the children.
Teacher, tell me, is there any benefit from these roles at all? Suddenly asked Andre, who had been following the conversation very carefully all that time.
In general, they sometimes facilitate communication with people, the sage answered.
In a certain way. Each role has a set of template reactions, how people with this role should behave. For example, how an ideal mother should behave, or a good son or daughter, a diligent student, a responsible worker, etc. But the most important thing that we must understand is that even when I communicate with people from this role, I am not it. I am not my role.
Is it possible to imagine that your role is a game? Andre asked after listening to the guardian's answer and thinking a little.
That I play this game because I need to communicate with people somehow.
Yes, that's a good way, nodded the sage. If you can't completely separate from the role, then you just need to remember all the time that you are playing it.
Observe yourself. When the roles change, switch between themselves, track it.
The sage paused, and, looking at the picture on the wall of the temple, continued.
For example, my relatives could not drive into me the role of an obedient son and grandson. Because I saw all this reality, realized it, began to observe it, and so I completely left these roles. I realize that, it turns out, these are just masks that help us in communication, at best. But if you do not see these roles, then they make us just obedient slaves.
Mary raised her hand again.
Great one. Please explain. But if a person is weak, if they cannot see their roles in any way, cannot realize them, then how can they become strong?
A person should then make more efforts, the sage answered simply.
One is weak because one made little effort and went with the flow, and if one starts making efforts, then one will become strong. Gradually, one will become stronger.
Is it like in sports? The woman asked.
Yes, just like in sports, the sage confirmed. If a weak person comes to the gym, then this person needs to train more, exercise more, lift dumbbells, barbells. And then one becomes strong through training, through constant effort. A person becomes spiritually strong due to the fact that one makes spiritual efforts, constantly conquers himself, does not allow false personalities and roles to subdue them, and then one becomes strong spiritually. One is freed from slavery. Teacher, but there are people with a very weak essence, aren't there? Maria asked, and after thinking, explained her idea. Such that, even if good conditions for development are created in a group, they cannot develop. What to do in this situation? Can these people be helped anymore? Now, such cases are not uncommon, the sage answered with calm confidence. The living conditions of a modern person are too easy. One does not need to struggle to survive. There are many opportunities to be lazy, to go with the flow. Since childhood, the child is fed by parents, restricting their movements. And now a person grows up weak and then can do nothing. It would only help if a person was taken from their usual environment and placed, for example, in the taiga, in difficult conditions. And there they would begin to struggle to survive. Their essence would begin to develop, and then perhaps they would understand something. But remaining in greenhouse conditions, lying on the couch and doing nothing, one will only degrade, and it is difficult to help them. The teacher's answer made the woman think, and it was clear that she was trying to put together all the patterns, to grasp as much of the knowledge as possible in order to be able to help the weak, to find a way to wake up their sleeping essence.
Tell me, please, she asked after a short pause. Can a personality help us in development?
Maria, there is such a thing as a spiritual personality, answered the teacher. It develops when we have knowledge about ourselves, about the world, about the need to wake up, as it should be. When the knowledge has already accumulated enough, a person can begin to put it into practice. If one begins to do this, then this knowledge begins to transform one's essence. So it turns out that in order to develop the essence, it is necessary to accumulate knowledge and develop a spiritual personality. The student formulated the following question. The first step is to work with our false selves. You should always start with this, the master explained, because a person who wants to follow the spiritual path always first of all encounters the influence of these false personalities, these roles, and they hinder a person, build obstacles. Therefore, you need to give names to these personalities. Observe them. Come to the understanding that these personalities are not myself. And when a spiritual personality develops, it begins to control all other personalities so that they do not manifest themselves just like that.
Can a spiritual person change false personalities?
Maybe. When it develops, when a person does practices, meditations, receives knowledge, one learns to control their false personalities and transforms them. And then work with the essence begins, or goes in parallel with this. And then knowledge begins to determine our existence.
The next question was asked by Vadim, a young guy in the orange attire of a closest student with a toned athletic figure.
Master, I have a question about essence. I noticed that in adolescence, many teenagers have an essential opposition to parents, to the system, to all bad rules. Adolescents do not agree with many things. They condemn the behavior of their parents, but then, with age, they themselves become the same and behave in the same way, although they used to vehemently condemn such behavior. The young man paused, choosing the right words in order to express his thoughts as accurately as possible. It turns out that even a developed essence does not save from education, from any wrong installations, and it turns out that even if a person remained very essential until adolescence, after that, the influence of personality starts to press upon them. After listening to the student's question, the sage looked at him with his radiant gaze, filled with love and understanding.
Vadim, this is a very good question, he answered softly and began to explain in detail. Yes, adolescents often protest against the rules, but it is quickly suppressed by indoctrinated programs and false personalities. And all why?
because there is no understanding of what to come to. There is a protest. One says, I don't want to be like everyone else. I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to act according to patterns. But at the same time, there is no awareness. So what happens instead? Little by little, these malicious programs slowly undermine a person. These attitudes and patterns of behavior enter a person gradually and accumulate, but there are no other impressions. And a person does not understand, what should I be? And therefore, bad programs are still being introduced into them, and still they form a person. Vadim nodded knowingly, as if the teacher had said something that he had been thinking about for a long time and even guessed about. But they were thoughts which he could not, on his own, formulate and bring to completion, since the truth constantly slipped away at the very last moment. Well, that's exactly how I felt when I was a teenager. But at the same time, I was still brought up with my parents. The student began to tell his story with fervor, and I kind of felt my strong essence, but the attitudes and behaviors of my parents, which I myself opposed, did not accept this essence, condemned it. I at one moment began to observe that it still exists in me and manifests itself. It's good that you understand that. You need to keep tracking this. At what point these attitudes operate, what false personalities are formed, when these false personalities switch. And then you need to further build yourself up, form a new spiritual personality. Ask yourself, who will I be then? How will I behave? And build these roles consciously. And how to do it right? Vadim continued to ask questions with fervor. The first is to name your personalities, to realize them. So what is next? It is necessary to consciously form an idea and understanding in oneself. I will be a spiritual person, and today for this, I will do the following actions and deeds. I will cultivate the right thoughts, do spiritual practices in order to become the person I want. If this conscious intention is not there, then external impressions will still win, because a person does not see an alternative to imposed roles and gradually becomes the same as the whole environment. The face of the young disciple lit up with understanding and sincere gratitude. It was clear that the words of the teacher, having fallen on the prepared ground, became for him not just knowledge divorced from practice, but the true indication of the path, a guide to action. Meanwhile, a tall woman raised her hand. At first glance, a very straight posture, femininity, and smoothness in movements were striking. It was difficult to determine her age, but from the wrinkles around her eyes and a slight gray in her hair that fell over her shoulders, one could assume that she was no longer young. "Great teacher," she bowed her head respectfully, looking at the sage with trepidation. You said that you need to protect a person from the influence of wrong programs so that the person grows up normal, she began. But I remember about the Buddha. He was born in a rich family and was protected from many wrong attitudes, but he could know the essence of life only when he saw suffering, fear, and death, ugliness with his own eyes. The woman spoke in a sonorous, melodious voice, and in her eyes burned the fire of the joy of knowledge, the energy of an active spiritual search. But, for example, Marianne, the student continued to say, she is much closer and more understandable to us. Buddha lived for a long time in isolation from ordinary people, in his palaces, and then he left the world to devote himself to spiritual practices. Mariana, from childhood, was in the society we are used to. She was, as it were, inside the matrix, but did not obey its programs and herd laws. Tell me, how can a person achieve such an effect? After all, not everyone is destined to live in the mountains, like monks, or like yogis in an ashram. How is it that people find the strength to resist these programs and false personalities? Is it about the right upbringing? But Marianne's parents were ordinary people. After listening to the student, the sage readily began to explain. Sophia, the fact is that Buddha and Marianne were very strong people. When a person is strong, a person very quickly begins to understand when they try to inspire him or her with false programs and values. Such a person does not perceive these programs, begins to resist them, finds some way out,
so as not to fulfill them. And if the person is weak, then they quickly give in to suggestion, and false personalities can easily subdue them. And in order for something normal to come out of such a person, you need to protect them from these programs in childhood. It is necessary to explain to them that all these roles and false personalities are a way of manipulation. And if you constantly explain this to a person, maybe they will have the strength to cope with these programs. That is, it will be better for an ordinary person if they are placed in some ideal conditions from childhood. For example, how Krishnamurti was brought up. After all, from an early age he was prepared so that he could become enlightened. Yes, Krishnamurti was brought up properly on purpose, the keeper of knowledge confirmed. From childhood, Buddhist monks studied with him. He studied sacred texts, meditated. This is how the great thinker and philosopher Krishnamurti appeared. If all people had such a correct upbringing, then they would become normal, could wake up and help others. But that doesn't happen. Usually a person is crushed. From the very childhood, they inspire him with different programs, give him wrong settings. The teacher paused, and mischievous sparks flashed in his eyes. It is difficult to fight this when you are taught from childhood that the solution to all problems is childbirth. Ironic intonations appeared in the sage's voice. Are you sick? So, when you give birth, you will recover. Is something bad for you? But you will give birth, and it will be good. Husband drinks and has a mistress? I need to give birth. Listening to how fervently and kindly the sage exaggerated one of the common stereotypes, the students could not help laughing, as it seemed so absurd. It turns out that some deliberate lie becomes the solution to all problems, the teacher continued, and if a person is weak, such a person may not figure it out, not understand, and fall under the influence of this manipulation. Teacher, it turns out that Osho was also protected from the bad influence of society in childhood when he was given to his grandparents? Sophia asked her next question. He was not affected, and therefore a good person grew out of him. Yes, that's right. He was not affected, so he retained his essential perception throughout his childhood. He himself ran in nature, walked in the forest, was constantly on the street, swam in the river. Until the age of 7, they did not try to inspire him with false truths and values. Therefore, they did not make an obedient slave of propaganda. And then he himself began to understand something, to understand, and so he became a free man. And if a person has been immersed in society since childhood, which constantly puts pressure on them, then the person does not understand that they are being influenced. Having finished speaking, the sage gestured at Eve. The blonde girl had been catching his eye for a long time to ask a question. Teacher, can I ask about the essence and personality? The student said happily, and when he nodded, she continued. You told today that different roles are involved in different situations, but can such a switch go not between roles, but between our essence and our personality? And can essence and personality be included together and act in unison? Yes, Eve. Essence and personality can act together, but the emphasis is always on one thing, the master readily explained. Here, for example, if people communicate with each other, then some kind of personality always turns on. Because we always communicate from some role, we behave in a certain way. But when we just walk alone in the forest and if there is no internal dialogue, when we just enjoy nature, then the essence can turn on, and then the essential state wakes up in us. At this moment, we do not play any role, but simply go, contemplate the forest, walk. But as soon as we see a person, we immediately put on a mask, and then the personality kicks in. Thanks for the clarification, the girl said with sincere gratitude. Tell me, but what should we strive for? So that the essence is constantly active? Is it even possible? Yes, we should strive for this, to make the essence always active. We must live in essence and play some roles when we need it. If we need to communicate with someone, we say to ourselves, so now I will put on the mask of a good girl, talk to my parents, and then I will take off this mask and continue to be in the essential state. But with us, the opposite is happening.
We are constantly in one of the false personalities, and we get into the essence only in fits and starts. And it turns out that even when there is no one around us, these personalities turn on, and their meaningless work continues. And these personalities can argue with each other in our head, and often we fall asleep, in the negative, trying to prove something. Teacher, do I understand correctly that a strong essence helps to separate from the personality? Eva asked another question. Someone embarks on the spiritual path and walks it confidently, and it seems no one can lead them astray. Such a person can say, "That's it, I understand. I'm not a mother, I want to develop spiritually." And someone will say, "Look at yourself. What are you doing? You abandoned your children." And she immediately leaves the spiritual path and returns to her role as a mother. It depends on the strong essence, right? Maybe someone has a strong essence by nature or has strengthened it during spiritual practices. Yes, that's right. In one case, the essence by nature can be strong. Then a person becomes independent early, quickly separates from their parents, begins to do something themselves, stops listening to suggestions. This happens if their essence is strong. When a person has a strong cosmogram and all the planets are in the same sign, in the same house, and if this is not the case, then it is only necessary to realize all this with the help of spiritual practices to separate from these roles in order to gain freedom. When he finished answering the question, the sage smiled, looking around at everyone present to see whom of them still had questions. "Yes, Olesya. Is there anything else you want to ask?" He drew attention to a fair-haired, gray-eyed girl who not so long ago told a frank story about her family. "Great one. Here's what I want to know. Are there personalities we can choose?" "That is," she stammered, trying to formulate her thoughts as precisely as possible. "We can make a gap between our essence and a false personality, and then completely disidentify. But while we're at it, can we move out of one role and into another role that will be more useful to people? Will this be the first step to getting free? If you can already control this switch, it means that you can already control yourself," the teacher answered with confidence. "If you see that this role does not suit you, that it is weak and wrong, then you can know that you have some other role. And then you switch to this other role. Keeper, but can a person immediately switch to the role that one still doesn't have?" Olesya asked doubtfully. "No," the sage shook his head negatively. "A person cannot immediately play some role that does not exist in them at all. One first switches to a strong role, which one already has. At first, it's just a switch. This is a very good start to learn to consciously move into a strong role. But in order to do this, you must already understand that you are not your role. You need to stop identifying with your roles, and then already to look, to see what set of roles is there. For example, we have a weak role of sissy or daughter. Such a role is formed when your parents spoiled you, did everything for you, and you just lay on the couch and could not even put away your own toys. You need to understand that if you continue to live in such a role, then you will continue to degrade. There will be no development. Therefore, you need to get angry with yourself and enter into strong roles, and already in them do good deeds, help others." Olesya nodded, considering the master's answer, and he realized that her questions did not end there, that she was interested in something else that would help deal with this difficult issue and make it possible to separate from false personalities. "Master, I observe myself and notice that I know more negative roles in myself than positive ones," the girl said excitedly. "Because, usually, when other students ask me what role I'm in now, I'm always in a weak personality." She faltered and added hastily, "And I understand that I still don't know my roles much, and I don't even have anything to rely on. What is the right way to manifest in good roles? How can I awaken them in myself, if I don't even know them?" Addressing the next question to the sage, the girl looked at him with hope and a sincere desire to really understand these issues. "A good way to keep track of all your roles is to set an alarm to ring every 5 to 10 minutes. The alarm clock rang. It means that you need to look and observe yourself. What role am I in now? Not all roles can be weak.
You need to observe yourself better in different situations, and then different roles will gradually come to light, and so it will be possible to discern some strong roles in yourself. You can also recall some situations and see what roles were manifested in each of them. When you showed yourself in a strong position, what was the role then? And then you need to try to enter into this strong role. I will definitely try this practice with an alarm clock, the student warmly thanked the sage. And here's another thing I wanted to ask. How to distinguish between the desires of the personality and the desires of the essence? I understand that the desires of the personality are imposed from the outside, but I still get confused about this. So, for example, if I feel that the fear of evaluation prevails, then is it always a personality? And can it be that the desire of the essence at this moment is completely opposite? For example, a person is afraid that they will be assessed negatively, and the essence, on the contrary, wants to manifest itself brightly. Dear teacher, please help me understand. Olesya, you need to watch yourself. The guardian of knowledge smiled softly in response. Yes. Often a person does not feel the difference between essence and personality, does not know what centers are manifested in themselves. We will talk in more detail about the centers of our essence in the next spiritual conversation. We will have a new picture, and there I will tell you everything in detail and show on the diagram what centers we have and what exactly our essence consists of. And we will learn to distinguish between the desires of essence and personality. We will learn to understand which centers of essence are turned on at one moment and which at another. We will learn to observe ourselves further. If we have never observed ourselves, then we will not see anything. It all starts with knowing yourself. Olesya and other students looked at the sage with gratitude and joy. Now, during the spiritual conversation, many questions that seemed difficult had become clear. The students looked at themselves differently and were ready to continue to work on themselves, to know themselves in order to further expand the horizons of spiritual growth. Looking around at those present, the keeper of knowledge spoke again. I remembered a good example, he began, accompanying his words with an enigmatic smile. Once Gurdjieff was talking with a well-known politician, and this politician was so eloquent, put forward various theories, made plans, talked about the war, who is for it and who is against it, did some analysis. And then Gurdjieff went and turned off the false personality of a politician in him, and he ended up in a very senseless state. He literally sat and did not understand what was happening. The personality turned off, and his essence was exposed, and it turned out to be very weak, poorly developed. Here is the dialogue between them. Did you just talk about the war? Gurdjieff asked. Ah, I don't know anything about it, the politician replied in confusion. And what do you want? Raspberry jam. The teacher paused, once again looked at the students and smiled. Smiles also ran across the faces of those present. Everyone imagined this situation, this ridiculous politician, in which false personalities completely drowned out the essence. It turned out that he had the essence of a 5-year-old child, the sage continued his story, and only the false personality lived on some ideas and plans, while the essence knew nothing of this. It saw a cup of tea and realized that it wanted raspberry jam. His essence was underdeveloped. As soon as he finished speaking, a hand was again raised among the students, belonging to a young brown-eyed girl who, like the others, actively participated in the conversation. Dear teacher, but you said that if one false personality makes a decision, then the other does not know anything about it. But at the moment when we make a decision, we really believe in it, don't we? For example, that we will continue our spiritual development, that we promise ourselves, for example, to give up bad habits, to start exercising, to start moving through our career, etc. But how to make a decision and stay in this decision, even when there is a switch to another personality? How to make it so that one lives with this decision and it is embodied? Katerina, this requires more anchors and more mood, the teacher said, sending a warm look to the student, full of love and acceptance. Now, if I know that my spiritual part is activated at the moment, and at this moment I make a decision, it is sincere, but I know that my other weak parts will turn on very soon, then I need to be ready for this. You need to set yourself up.
To do this, list these parts, call them the names that we came up with in advance. Mentally go through these roles, and when they turn on, you need to remember your decision. We need to remember that we wanted to manifest ourselves correctly, to be conscious. And this spiritual part will then turn on parallel to another weak part, and they will work at the same time. And if our mood is strong enough, it will allow us to remember our decision.
So it turns out that our false personality will act as an anchor? Katya asked. If we notice that it has appeared and controls us, then we need to remember about our other part and about the decision made?
Yes, you understood my idea correctly. The sage smiled mischievously. We can use a false weak personality as an anchor, she turned on, and we remembered our task. For example, we understand that our hysterical role of a bitch has turned on, and then we remember, I decided not to freak out anymore, not to beat plates against the wall and not fall to the floor. I will not do this, but I will be aware, observe myself at this moment. Now, if you set yourself up like that, then the two parts will unite together, and the struggle with yourself will already begin. The spiritual part will struggle with a false, imposed personality, with negative attitudes. That's when the deep inner work begins. Teacher, I also wanted to ask about the spiritual essence and spiritual personality. Are these different concepts? The same student asked when the sage finished explaining. Tell me, how can I better understand this?
Yes, this is not an easy topic, the sage replied. We will definitely talk about it tomorrow. In the meantime, I will say this. An essence can be of a high level. Then it quickly becomes spiritual and acquires the seven treasures of the soul. And sometimes it is underdeveloped, like that politician who wanted raspberry jam. Such an essence takes a long time to develop. But in any case, the spiritual personality is always formed first. If it is properly formed and it begins to actively work in us, then the essence also begins to grow in us. With these words, the sage once again gave the disciples a look full of warmth and love. All of them were now in an active state of spiritual search, having received a very large portion of knowledge. Many needed some time in order to realize and process the information received. The next day, a new meeting awaited all those present, so that having allowed the received knowledge to sleep, they could go even deeper along the path of self-knowledge and answer the question, "Who am I?" Today's conversation came to an end, and the sage concluded it, according to tradition, with the lines of a spiritual poem. Multiple mysteries of being, one of them is me. Who am I? Came a question, and immediately after, the answer, light from the deep. I am a mystery, a wonder of wonders. I am a mystery, the height of heaven. I am the rustle of leaves, and the lightness of clouds, and the whiteness of the mountain snows. I am this world birthing itself, in the love stream, the happiness of being, in the flight of the colors of the world, of beauty. I am the drop of light of a bright star.